Good morning. We're reading this morning, as Sally said, from Psalm 119 and reading verses 1 to 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is the word of the Lord.
So, following on from Phil's introduction to this series, starting with the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, today we look at the first 16 verses of Psalm 119, which shows us that the Word of God should have top priority in our lives. It stands as the giant among the Psalms. This is the longest Psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. And I'll start with a true story. George Wishart was the Bishop of Edinburgh in the 17th century, not to be confused with another Scot by the same name who was martyred a century earlier for his faith. Wishart was also condemned to death because of crimes of treason, but when he was on the scaffold, he made use of a custom which allowed the condemned person to choose one psalm to be sung, and he chose Psalm 119. Before two-thirds of the psalm had been sung, his pardon arrived and his life was spared. He was not a deeply spiritual man, so we hear, but he knew his Bible. Sadly, many Christians' appreciation for this psalm goes only as deep as George's does, and they know it's the longest one. The psalm's an acrostic or alphabet psalm. Each group of eight verses begins with one of the 22 letters of the Greek alphabet heading. And so today we have Aleph and Beth. If you want a fuller explanation, you'll have to research it yourselves. And this magnificent psalm celebrates the law of the Lord, God's special revelation and gracious direction for life. It may be considered as the statement of a believer's experience. As far as our views, desires, and affections agree with what is expressed here, they come from the influences of the Holy Spirit and no further. The pardoning mercy of God in Christ is the only source of a sinner's happiness. The psalmist desired to learn the laws of God and to give God the glory. And believers see that if God forsakes them, the devil would be too hard for them. And so now let's examine each verse and see if it resonates with both you and I. Verse 1, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. We see in this first verse the hope of a person to be as this one who walked in the law of the Lord. There is a state beyond being saved and knowing the Lord as Saviour. There is a place in our growth, if we are truly to be blessed of God, that we can do no less than to make Jesus Christ our Lord. To know him as Lord means that we walk in his will, The Lord of the Lord is not a burden to those who love him. Verse 2, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Heart refers to intellect, volition and emotion. Statutes means witness in this verse. Jesus taught a beautiful gospel of love when he walked upon the earth as Saviour of all. We have talked so much about God not wanting the mind of a person. He wants our heart. The testimony of Jesus was that he destroyed sin and death for all who believe. Men and women who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are no longer sons and daughters, but sons and daughters of God. Verse 3, they do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. They walk in his ways, in the ways of God and Christ, into which they are guided and directed, and where they are kept, and in which they find both pleasure and profit. Here are the descriptive characters of good and happy people. This again is speaking of walking in the salvation you've received from the Lord Jesus. Repent is a very misused word. It's good to be sorry for your past sins, but repent means that you will turn from that old way of life and walk a brand new life with Jesus. In the new life, he will not only be with you, he will be in you. And as Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Verse 4, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Precepts are oral or written declarations of what God expects. The original meaning carries the idea of fixed, appointed, designated, suggesting that the people must submit to the established expectations of a sovereign God or suffer the consequences. Precepts were the commandments. And we are to carefully guard our salvation. It is the most prized possession we have. It leads to eternal life. We must not get careless about the things of God. Sin is separation from God. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. The way of the Lord is lit up with the light of Jesus. It must not be an uncertain path. We must focus our minds and do the will of God. To receive the blessings of God, we must be obedient children to the Father. We must keep our feet on the path that leads to him. Even great Christians have trouble maintaining their spiritual focus. Martin Luther watched his dog sitting near the dinner table and said, oh, if I could only pray the way this dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope. And we all thought Martin Luther was a stern man. Verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. When I consider all your commands or look at them constantly, as a rule and steadfastly continuing to follow them. Guilt and shame are the products of sin. Only those who have not kept their way are ashamed when they face the Lord as a judge. When we keep his commandments, we will be eager to stand before him and hear him say, well done. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. Praise you? The scripture provokes singing, thanksgiving, rejoicing and praise. Righteous, God's word reflects the character of God, especially righteousness. We cannot do the will of God until we know what that will is. The way to learn his will is to study the Bible, for in it is the secret of life with him. The only praise that can be pure is praise that originates in a heart stayed upon him. Even our praise is sweeter when we have a clear conscience and know that all is well with our soul. Verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Obey your decrees. This expresses the firm purpose of the psalmist. He meant to keep the law of God. He could confidently say that he would do it, and coupled with a prayer which follows, that God would not forsake or abandon him. Utterly forsake me. so as to leave me to myself. His confidence that he would keep the commandments of God was based on the prayer that God would not leave him. There is no other ground of persuasion that we shall be able to keep the commandments of God than that which rests on the belief and the hope that he will not leave us. To live the life that God would that the Lord would have us to live, we must determine in our heart, as this psalmist did, to keep his statutes. This is a promise from the psalmist who would not be able to face life without the Lord. And the second group of eight verses, beginning with Beth, verse 9. How can a young person keep his way pure? By living according to your word. We are drowning in a sea of impurity. Everywhere we look, we find temptation to lead impure lives. The psalmist asks the question that troubles us all. How do we stay pure in an impure environment? So far as I can recall, casting my mind back 60 or more years when I was a teenager, yes, I was one once, involved in youth movements at Scouts and church, I think that the leaders were reasonably successful in keeping me and my friends on the straight and narrow way, more or less. If there is one theme that goes through this entire chapter of Psalms, it is the Word. We must not only read the Word of God, we must hide its teachings in our heart so that we might not sin against God. The only way to be totally clean is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and to be totally clean. His blood does not just cover sin, but does away with it. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. The psalmist in verse 2 speaks of the blessed are those who seek the Lord with all their heart. And in this verse he says he could affirm that he had thus sought God. He had such a consciousness that this was the aim and purpose of his life that he could say so without hesitation. Every person who claims to be a religious person ought to be able to say this, but alas, how few can do it. Do not let me stray from your commands. Keep me in this steady purpose, this fixed design. This is a language of a heart where there is a consciousness of its weakness and its liability to err, strong as may be its purpose to do right. Such an apprehension is one of the best means of security, for such an apprehension will lead a person to pray, and while a person prays, they are safe. This sounds so much like David to me. He may have succumbed to the sin of the flesh at one time, but he was a person whose heart was pure before God. The desire of his heart was to please God at all times. Let me not stray from your commands is so near to lead me not into temptation. The psalmist here is aware of the weakness in his flesh. He knows that only with the Lord directing his every decision can he not wander from temptation. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not only heard and read it, but received it into his heart, that I might not sin against you. The word of God is a most powerful antidote against sin when it has a place in the heart. Not only the precepts of it forbid sin, but the promises of it influence and engage the purity of heart and life, and to the perfection of holiness in the fear of the Lord. And all the doctrines of grace in it effectually teach the saints to deny all sin and worldly lusts, and to live a life holy, as Paul reiterated in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7. I look around me today, and sin is on every side. It seems the world has gone mad. Even professing Christians are involved in a sinful lifestyle. The problem with all of these people is they do not even know right from wrong. They have not hidden the Bible away in their heart. They do not even know what sin is. The Bible is our roadmap through life. Those who do not carefully read the map get lost. Some are so sure they do not need help that they do not see the need of the Bible. How wrong they are. The secret to life is in God's holy word. The determination of our heart is to hide the word of God so deeply in our heart that there will be no room for anything else. We will be so full of his word that there will be no place for sinful desires. Sin originates in the heart. If the heart is full of God, you will not desire to sin. Verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. This is the desire of all people who have disciplined themselves to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples of old asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They also would get Jesus away from the world to ask him to teach them what the parables he taught meant. Jesus sent all the believers a teacher and guide. In the book of John, he promised to send the Comforter, who would guide and teach all of his holy ways. And we read from in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Verse 13, "With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth, not the laws of his hand, which he executes on an ungodly world, but the revelation of the will of God, what his mouth has uttered, doctrines and precepts of righteousness and truth." This is a declaring by the psalmist that the words coming from his lips are the teachings from the Lord's mouth. Laws here are also to be spoken of as the true statements of the Lord. The laws of the Lord are printed in red in some Bibles. It's a very good idea to concentrate on these scriptures. They contain life. Verse 14, "I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches." And the psalmist does rejoice and finds his happiness there. The word expresses a high degree of joy. Rejoices in great riches as people rejoice who have great wealth. I find my happiness in religion as if in the possession of great wealth. Proverbs 10, verse 22, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it." If the psalmist here is David, and I believe it is, then he has many of the material things of this earth that we call wealth. He is saying that the word of God is more valuable to him than all these material things. If you could keep only one of your worldly possessions and had to give up everything else, would you choose the one thing to keep to be your Bible? Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." This is a very strong statement of commitment. He is saying, when I am not reading your word, I am thinking on its teachings. This is a person stayed upon God. When making decisions, he will see if the answer he is about to give lines up with the word of God. If it does not, he will change his answer until it does line up with the word. To have your mind stayed upon God is a very healthy situation. "Your ways are above my ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Make your ways my ways." And finally, verse 16, "I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Some men who have been in prison for many years said the thing which kept them alive and with hope was the scriptures they could remember from their earlier teachings. Some of them even wrote every one they could remember in the dust of their prison floor. To know the word of God and hide it away deep within yourself is one thing that no one can take away from you. It is pleasant to remember the teachings of the Lord. Nearly all true believers have many scriptures they have memorized. In time of trouble, it gives you something to hang on to. If I had to summarize this sermon, I would say that the most urgent task in our life is to read the Bible and hide its teachings deep within our hearts. Use it to help us through this life and quote it aloud to others who are searching for the truth. The two great powers in this world today are the spoken and the written word of God. Amen.